In a world where women continue to break through glass ceilings, shatter stereotypes, and redefine success, there are so many stories just waiting to be heard. And that is exactly what this podcast is all about. I'm your host, Katie Williams, and in each episode, we'll sit down together with inspiring female entrepreneurs from diverse industries, backgrounds, and stages of their journey. We'll explore the lessons they've learned, the obstacles they've overcome, and the advice they have for those who might be ready to take a leap of their own. I cannot wait to dive into the day-to-day realities of running a business, often while juggling other roles like being a mum or working multiple jobs. You can expect honest conversations, valuable advice, and a whole lot of inspiration. So grab yourself a cuppa and let's get into it. Before we dive into today's episode, I just want to take a moment to tell you about Small Biz Society The Membership, a brand new community for women in business. With monthly trainings from guest experts, a monthly goal setting session, and weekly networking and implementation sessions, there is so much on offer and it is a wonderful community already. It only launched at the end of January 24 and I cannot wait to see where it goes. For more details and to join, head to smallbizsociety.co.uk/membership. Right, let's get into it, shall we? Hello and welcome to another episode of Small Biz Society, the podcast. I'm Katie and today I'm joined by Louise. Hello, Louise.
Hiya, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Super, yeah, same.
Good. Would you like to start by telling us a bit about yourself?
Yes, so my name is Louise Cox and I'm the founder of Louise Cox PR and I support product-based businesses to get their products featured in the press.
Amazing. So what's your background and how did it lead to you obviously now running your own business?
Yeah, so my background is in marketing and advertising and that's what I studied at university. And we had to do a work placement in that time. And the only thing I could find was a placement in a PR agency, 2 bus rides away from my house, which took me 90 minutes to get to.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm sure you can imagine, yeah, as a uni student, it's not something I really wanted to do. But that is where I fell in love with PR. And the rest is really history from there. I just got jobs after that working in public relations. I worked in agency, working on accounts like Montezuma's Chocolate and Go8. Didn't last that long, actually. I've always been someone that's wanted my own business. And I just thought, I'm just going to quit and start my own agency. And that's exactly what I did. And I think that was in the early 2020s.
Oh, wow.
Early 2000s, sorry. And I supported small businesses, again, fashion, beauty, lifestyle. And I was doing their PR for them and getting them featured in the likes of Vogue, Prima, and loads of magazines, which was absolutely amazing. But they're obviously running a business, there are some sort of things that crop up and like shake your confidence and things. Mm. And one of those things happened for me and I had a really toxic client. But for me, it was just something that rocked me so much that I couldn't get over that. So I ended up closing my PR agency. But luckily, on the side, I had a candle business. Well, it wasn't a business at the time, it was a hobby. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to take this candle business, turn it into a money-making business. So that's what I did for 7 years. So to make candles and again, used all my PR skills to get those featured in the press and grew our business that way.
Amazing.
But when the pandemic hit, I was like, oh, loads of product-based businesses seem to be a little bit struggling. They don't know what they're going to do, especially those that were, you know, going to markets regularly and things like that. So I set up a Facebook group, free Facebook group, just offering support and ideas, you know, to keep visible, with PR being one of the main ways to do that. And it was really popular. And in my head, there was a little light bulb that went, I could help people do this full time.
Yeah.
And I do love PR and I loved it. So I was able to get back to it just in a different way. So teaching people to do their PR. So that's how it all came about, really.
Oh, that's brilliant. So why is PR important for, you know, product-based small businesses?
I think it's important because I think, let me just explain what PR is. So PR is practically everything you do. But I think us small businesses think of getting featured in press, which is the publicity side of PR.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's really important for small businesses to get featured in the press, because it can just open up so many different avenues. It is that thing that initial getting featured in the press is a massive ego boost, and it's like super exciting and everything. But beyond that, it really is about, you know, reaching new audiences, people that might not have seen your products. It is about opening up new opportunities. When I have my candle business, we were featured in one magazine, and from that we were able to get stockists off the back of it. So it's all of the things that happen afterwards. And I think the biggest one is it's a really great tool to grow your email list, because if you're featured in a magazine, people are going to go to your website. And although not everybody is going to purchase, you know, whatever they saw in the magazine, they might join your mailing list. And obviously that is an absolute key way to then nurture people and turn them into customers later down the line, and, you know, repeat customers time and time again. So for me, PR is just one of the things that every small business should have in their plan.
Okay. Do you have any like top tips when it comes to PR?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first one is, don't think it's not for you. This is the thing I hear the most. I'm a small business, journalists aren't going to be interested in featuring my products. And there's like Country Living that have an artisans page. There's Red Magazine that always supports, you know, small businesses in their Christmas gift guide. And then there's the online press as well, like Heat World and Closer Online, which feature Etsy sellers. So the first thing is to absolutely believe that PR is for small businesses, and you can definitely do it, and you can do it yourself as well. This is the beauty of it. I think my top three tips would be to research the magazines that you want to be featured in, and be honest with yourself whether they're actually going to be a fit for you. A lot of the times people go, I want to be featured in Vogue, which is amazing, and that is such an aspirational magazine. But if your product isn't a fit for that luxury high-end fashion magazine, let's be honest, let's cross it off the list and go for magazines that are absolutely perfect for your brand and the ones your ideal customers are going to read. My second tip is make sure your images are on point, because especially if you're a product-based business, you're probably going to be going for the shopping pages, you know, them pages where they show all the different products that are available to purchase, and they're really image-led. So making sure that your images are spot on. It doesn't mean getting a photographer to do it. You can just, you know, take them all yourself on your phone and use different apps and whatnot to edit them. But ensuring that you have amazing images is my second tip. And the third tip is keep going. It can be an uphill struggle sometimes with PR, I'm not going to lie. You know, you're sending emails to journalists, they're ghosting you, they're not coming back to you. But it's really important that you are consistent with it, because the more that you pop up in their inbox and give them different ideas that might help them feature your products, the more likely you are going to get featured. So it's just about being super, super consistent.
And is that how it works? Do you just sort of reach out to places to try and get featured?
Yeah, definitely. So what I would do, if you have a magazine in mind that you want to get featured in, I would read that magazine from cover to cover, really understand who they are targeting. And then, like I said, is there a synergy between your product and that magazine? And if there is, yes, we would want to contact them. And we would want to find the page in the magazine, you know, where your product would fit. So if you're launching a new, I don't know, face serum or something, a beauty page is probably going to be the best place for you. And then we'd want to see if we can find out who writes that page. Usually there's a list of journalists at the front of the magazine, so you'd be looking for like the beauty editor or beauty assistant or somebody, and then we would just send them an email with our product details on there and give them a little hook to why they might want to feature it. And that hook could be that it's a new product, maybe it's a product that's perfect for summer skin or a gift idea. And that's how we do it. It literally is, you know, research and identifying a product that's going to fit really well within the different pages in the magazines.
Amazing. Do you think there is such thing as bad publicity? You know, I think we've all heard like the saying that, you know, no publicity is bad publicity, but is that true?
Yeah, definitely. It's a really interesting question, and I think it really depends on the scale of the publicity and what has been said and whatnot. And I think we have to remember sometimes within the press, things are sensationalized a lot, and that is obviously fueling the fire. But I'll give you an example of what I thought was actually going to ruin my candle business when the Daily Mail were calling in candles to review, lemon candles to review. And usually when somebody calls in a candle to review, they will just obviously light it in the house and Does it smell? Does it burn nicely? All that sort of stuff. No. The Daily Mail sent it off to a laboratory to see how many particles and whatnot came out of it. Then it burnt. Also, they didn't tell us this. And then when the article came out, the headline was, is your candle giving off the same emissions as a diesel car? So it was, and then they had a list of candles in there that they tested. Obviously, ours was one of them. And obviously, you might think, oh, God, that's really bad publicity that your candle was tested and it got like, I can't remember how many stars it got. But because that, we got £600 worth of orders. So, you know, that is sensationalised by the Daily Mail. Of course it is. But a lot of the time, you have to just think, what can I do within my power to change that publicity around? And, you know your products if they're the, and I think a lot of the time it is communication, which is the thing that will save any bad publicity. Because if you can explain, you know, why that publicity has come out, you know, communication is probably the key to just explaining it. So do I think there's a thing about publicity? I think there is, but I think it's really dependent on, you know, what is being said.
Yeah. So what would you say has been like a standout moment in your business?
So I think it has to be when I was invited to do a breakout presentation at the Obesity Small Business Sunday event in Birmingham a couple of years ago. Yeah, I was so happy with that. And I'm not somebody that enjoys public speaking, but I thought this is really going to push me out of my comfort zone. And I did it in front of 50 people and it was brilliant. And I think, you know, it just gives me that confidence. And obviously I was there to be able to help people as well, you know, giving them the process of getting featured as well. So for me, that's one of the standout things, I think.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really fab.
How do you plan your time? Do you... in your business, are you like a pen and paper person or digital planner?
Yeah, so I am a bit of a planner when it comes to pen and paper, but I'm also a bit of a fly by the seat of your pants as well at times. I sort of know that I should be planning, but sometimes it just goes completely out the window and I will just do what I need to do on the day.
Yeah.
Like if I've got a big launch coming up, obviously that is planned, but generally time, you know, if it's just a week, I might say, oh, I'll do my social media this week, you know, this day, might do this another day. So it really just depends on how I'm feeling as well. And I think that's something I've learned, you know, running my own business, is not to think I need to work 9 to 5 and do everything in those hours. I'm somebody that is way more productive, like really early in the morning and sometimes in the evening. So these bits in the middle of the day, I'm just like, I don't really know what to do because my brain isn't really functioning.
Yeah,
so I think,
I'm the
yeah.
same.
Exactly.
I'm quite often
hard,
tired in
isn't
the
it?
Evening and, you know, I don't want, I generally don't want to do anything, but there have been times where I've sort of been working at, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night because I'm in the mood to do it. And I'm like, right, I just need to go with this while I'm in the mood for it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the hardest things to learn, isn't it? We don't have to just sit here at 9 to 5 because that's what we were, you know, conditioned to do.
Yeah.
We need to work when we've got the inspiration. So, yeah.
Would you say you've got a good work-life balance?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, like I said, I do work Monday to Friday. And although I say that I should like go with my body and my proactive, like, I do sit here 9 to 5 doing what I need to do a lot of the time. But, you know, like I say, I don't tend to work weekends. Although I do work on a Saturday or a Sunday, just because I get so much more done again because there's no like interruptions. I'm not thinking, oh, I just check my emails or people are wanting me. So I always think that's really nice. But generally, yeah, really good life work balance. If I just want to take off for a couple of days, I do that. I do take my laptop with me and do a couple of hours here and there. I mean, I'm off on holiday next month and my laptop will come with me. But I do think I've got a really good life work life balance. I think it's super important because if we don't have that, we're just, you know, all consumed by the business, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Do you plan your social media? Do you have a good schedule for that? Or is that, again, is that a bit winging it?
Yeah, it is a bit winging it. To be honest, it's like when I know something's coming up, like again, if I've got a launch, I know that I'll be what I'm going to be posting. And funny enough, when I do go on holiday, I do sit there and I make sure everything's planned. So social media goes out every single day. But when I'm here, like day to day, I tend to put out what I'm feeling on that day. So that's tend to how I do it, sort of. Yeah, how what I'm feeling. Is the awareness day this week? And I'll put that out. But yeah, maybe I'll plan it a week or so in advance. I'm not somebody that plans it months and months in advance, because I do think you have to be flexible as well to what's coming up, you know.
Yeah,
And if anything
definitely.
happens in the world, you know, I wouldn't want to have something going out there and something major happens and it's just totally inappropriate
Yeah.
to going out. So.
How does planning work when it comes to PR? Like, how far in advance do you plan
Yeah, so this I do definitely plan. So
that?
with the like monthly magazines like your Cosmopolitan, Prima, and Country Living, those magazines work 3 to 4 months in advance. So right now they're sort of working on their May, June issues. So you have to know exactly what you're going to be pitching. So you'd obviously want to be pitching like summertime products and whatnot. So you really need to have a good plan of what you're going to be pitching for those. And with the weeklies, again, they work 4 to 8 weeks in advance, you know, so they're sort of working. Where are we now? Sort of February, they're sort of working March time, so like looking towards Easter. So you do really have to plan your PR, because otherwise you really do miss the opportunities. And one of the biggest opportunities for product-based business is obviously Christmas, and the Christmas gift guides, and that gets earlier and earlier every year, and that all starts in May. So
Oh
knowing
gosh.
exactly, I know it's crazy, knowing what you're going to have available, what gifts you want to be putting out there. Yeah, that is one of the things that really does need planning, Christmas PR. And if that's just the one thing that product-based businesses do, just, you know, kickstart their PR, it's a really great one, even if they've just got one product ready for Christmas PR.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, PR is definitely something that needs planning.
Wow.
Yeah,
Gosh. Yes,
it's
taking me back a little bit there.
crazy. I like a course every it's a free course every June for Christmas PR, and I'm sweating because I'm sitting here because I'm one of these people. I'll get right into the Christmas PR, I'll wear my Christmas jumper, you know, it's usually sun coming through the window and I'm just sweating as I do it, thinking this is absolutely crazy, who does this? But
It's
yeah.
hard because I know people do the whole Christmas in July thing, and I can't remember when I did. I think I started designing things for Christmas in August last year over the summer holidays when I was at home with the kids. But then I didn't, put it out there until sort of September. And I was proud of myself for making stuff in August. But yeah, I guess it needs to be even earlier than that in.
If you're going for press coverage, yeah, you need to have it ready. I always say by the end of June, have your images ready, know what you're gonna have and want to pitch and get featured in the press. Even if it's just one thing,
Yeah.
because you don't need lots of products, which is another thing for that. But yeah,
Amazing.
definitely a food for thought for you.
Yeah. What are your plans for your business for the future?
So going forward, obviously I teach mainly how to do your own PR, but there is going to be an agency side to the business, you know, doing PR for small brands. But it really is just, you know, really inspiring and educating product-based businesses so they can do their own PR, because it really isn't that hard. You know, if you've got the time and you can be consistent with it, you can achieve amazing results. And I think my plans for the business are just to keep inspiring people doing that. I'm writing a book, I've got a podcast coming out, so all these free sort of information
Amazing.
I can give people. But yeah, that's the plan. So just keep inspiring people to do it, because you know, PR is amazing and it really can help people to grow their business.
That's brilliant. And I think small businesses especially can use all the help, they can
Yeah,
get, really. That's
exactly,
brilliant.
definitely. And I think there's a gap in the market as well for like product PR. You know, a lot of PR agencies
Yeah.
you see out there, it's, you know, get your personal brand out there and everything. And I know why that is super important. A lot of product-based businesses sort of hide behind their brand,
Yeah.
and you know, they don't want to be in the magazines. It's just the products that they want to get featured in there. So, you know, if I can help them just achieve that, you know, brilliant.
That's amazing. All right, are you ready for the quick fire five?
Yes, I am.
Who is your biggest inspiration?
So as cliched as this sounds, obviously it's my family. You know, everything I do within my business is to create our dream life. So it has to be, yeah, my
That's lovely.
family.
Do you have a favorite business book?
I do, and it's Karen Green's book, She Means Business. Karen Green is the founder of the Female Entrepreneur Association, and it's just a really inspiring book, which is Gives background for her story. She features other people in the book as well. And it's also like a little roadmap of what you need to get going. So it's a book that I go back to time and again.
Amazing. Do you have a favorite business podcast?
I do. One of my favorites is Lisa Johnson Making Money Online, because obviously that's what I do, is we're dubbed online digital business. So her podcast is brilliant, but it also goes into different things like mindset and all the sort of money mindset that goes with that. So it is a really good podcast, and I really like it when the episodes are quite short, which hers are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your guilty pleasure?
Oh. So I love Hallmark films, you know, those rom-coms that you get when you know what's going to happen in the first 5 minutes, and you
Yeah.
just relax and enjoy the film. There's no
Yeah.
nasty surprises, but in the end, you know, everyone is happy after, ever after. Absolutely perfect.
I love that. And you know when like a man walks onto the screen and you're like, that is going to be the love interest. Like that is going to be
Yes.
you just know.
Yes. Yeah. If I don't know what's going to go happen in the film, I know this isn't for me.
What is your favorite biscuit?
Oh God, that's a tough one. I think though, oh, it's a toss up between a ginger nut and a milk chocolate digestive. Both are very dunkable.
Yeah.
I love both. Yeah. Yeah. Love a biscuit. Tea
Love
biscuit.
it.
Well, actually, I'm a coffee and biscuit person, but yeah, love
That's all
it.
right. I'll let you off. All
I
right. What is one piece of advice you would give to somebody just starting out in business?
think it is mindset and believing in yourself, because I think throughout my business journey, that is the thing that has shaken the most. And when I, you know, you work on that and believe in yourself and invest in your mindset and your confidence in your business.
Yeah.
That is what is gonna take you far. But it's a hard lesson to learn. Nobody tells you this when you start a business. They're just like,
No.
do this, but it's all the you know, you're talking to yourself and all of that. So yeah, a support network around you, and just, you know, believe in yourself and take those small steps every single day towards your goal.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, let us know where we can find you.
Super. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm at Louise Cox PR, or you can head over to my website, which is louisecoxpr.co.uk.
Amazing. I will leave all your links in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on today. It's been really lovely to talk to you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for listening, and I will see you in the next one. Thank you again so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please consider leaving a review and make sure you're following me so you don't miss out on future episodes. And if you're interested in being a guest yourself, just reach out and we can have a chat. All the details of where you can find me are in the show notes of each episode. So let's connect, and I can't wait to see you next time.